I want to bring in Aaron Cannon, CEO over at Clear Harbor Asset Management. The firm manages more than $2 billion across families, not-for-profits, corporations, and more. He joins us once again from Stamford, Connecticut. I was going to lead off with earnings and the earnings season that we've seen thus far, Aaron, and also what expectations are, because I think a lot of people agree that that is the area that will be the next catalyst. But I can't ignore what's happening around the world, specifically in the Middle East right now. I think some folks thought this conflict was behind us, but it appears that it's not. What's your view?
Well, certainly it's not, Tim. And the prospect of the sort of inflation debate outside of things like services, and more specifically as it relates to energy, and not just oil, but LNG, and not just LNG, but even like, you know, the lubrication and lubricants that are, you know, very critical to industrial manufacturing, the trucking manufacturing, car manufacturing, a lot of that is coming out of the Middle East area. So to the extent that this is, war is back in play here, and we're going to see it for several more weeks, if not months, it's not a specter for lower volatility, potentially higher volatility. But to your point about earnings, they're coming in now fast and furious. They've been quite strong, the strongest we've seen over sort of back to back. You know, we have 22% earnings growth is the estimate for this quarter. It was 26% last quarter. We haven't seen that since the dark days coming out of COVID. And so it's really been an earnings story this year, driving growth, and continue to hope that that prevails in the days ahead.
How do we square that, though, with what feels like things that can come from the White House that can certainly upset investors and impact markets, Aaron? Like, how do you what do you determine you look through? What don't you look through?
Well, I think a lot of the questions that we need to ask around geopolitics has to do with timing and duration of investment. So if we're going to invest in the AI theme or allocate capital to the broad equity market, whether it's in the U.S. or abroad, you know, clearly, we need to sort of hold our breath a little bit on the day in and day out nuances of the Middle Eastern level of uncertainty. Karg Island, if there were to be activity on Karg Island, that's an escalation that we haven't seen yet. Karg Island is at the epicenter of exporting crude oil from Iran. And so it would really be a complete choke point if the U.S. were able to or decided to take Karg Island. There's also, of course, a risk to our own sort of military infrastructure and our soldiers over there if we were to go and sort of concentrate defense capabilities on that island. So I'm sure the Defense Department is thinking about this very carefully and very seriously, if they're actually thinking about it at all.
Are there also, and look, this is all the backdrop for markets, and you know, all this stuff can affect markets. So I'm curious about your view on the way this could change the balance of power in Washington come November, come January, when potentially we see new members of Congress being sworn in. Does this tip the scales toward Democrats?
Well, I mean, certainly the House looks like it's going to pivot towards the Democrat Party. I do think, and this is more of a general statement, midterms are often not great for the president, president's party, that is. But the other reality is voters tend to still vote with their wallets. And so the state of the economy right now is quite strong. The AI boom is quite strong. Employment is strong. Yes, inflation is elevated, but we did see CPI yesterday, PPI today come in a bit. And so it would argue, at least when you think about, well, is this going to be a real washout for the Republican Party? Probably less so in that they hold the Senate. But if I'm the president, I have to think, if I need to get things done, I better do them before midterms, because I need the House to vote in my favor on things that are sort of controversial in nature in Washington. So this is sort of the predicament I'm sure he's in, and he's thinking about timing around that on multiple fronts, I suspect.
Hey, Aaron, we know, you know, you're investing for the longer term, and we totally get that for the folks and clients that you're working with. Having said that, somebody brings new money and says, I don't care the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I'm thinking 10 or 20 from now, or 20 and whatever. What long-term bets do you feel comfortable making today?
Well, I think one leap of faith that we have to make if we're investors and we look at both the backward sort of last 100+ years of economic history is a capital accruing positively to equity ownership. And if you have a 20-year time frame, and you're able to withstand the ebbs and flows of that volatility that is inherent in owning equities, I would argue that owning a global portfolio of diversified equities, both home and abroad, while taking maybe a more of a tactical approach to particular opportunity sets, both home and abroad, to sort of maybe overweight particular opportunities would be the best posture on a go-forward basis. And that's sort of how we think about the very long term. But the reality is most clients don't think in 20 and 30 year time frames. They think in maybe 6 month, 2 year, 5 year. They have liquidity needs, they have cash needs, they're sending their children to college, they're gifting capital. So a lot of the reality in the main happens in a very nuanced way.
Interesting. Okay, good. Aaron, thank you. Be well. Take care. Aaron Kennan,
As
CEO
well.
at Clear Harbor Asset Management, managing more than $2 billion across families, not-for-profits, and corporations there in Stamford, Connecticut.